someday, when everything costs nothing and you pickle pickles to get cucumbers, I'm going to perform gallant deeds for gents in distress. Because when I get that old, it's gents that are in distress and nitresses who save them.
The author of that liberationist idea was Jillian Jackson, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University brings you Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about the process of writing creatively. To conduct today's program, here's children's author Jacqueline Jackson.
Let's contrast the little passage I read for the opener with a book called The Little Knight by Elizabeth Johnson. The princess is objecting to being a girl, and throughout the book she chants, "I won't be a lady and sew a fine seam. I will be a knight and follow my dream." And so she dresses up as a knight and goes out to slay the dragon, but when she finds the dragon, she isn't strong enough and she is frightened, and the sheep herd Peter kills the dragon, turns out to be a prince, and she marries him. And her final statement is that it is better to have a knight than to be one. Or take the topic of sewing a fine seam as it comes up in the book Caddy Woodlawn by Carol Ryrie Brink. You know, Caddy has been allowed to run with her brothers out there on the Wisconsin frontier, and it's an extremely well-written and interesting book. But certain things keep coming up, this theme of Caddy being a tomboy. And at one point, Caddy plays a despicable trick on a cousin with her brothers, and she gets caught, and her mother rages. "Ma, it was as much my fault as hers," cried Tom, his ruddy face gone white. "No, Tom," said Mrs. Woodlawn, "I cannot blame you so much, but that a daughter of mine should so far forget herself in her hospitality to a guest that she should be such a hoyden as to neglect her proper duties as a lady. Shame to her, shame. No punishment that I can invent would be sufficient for her." So Caddy is sent up to her room, and she is stung by the injustice, and she plans to go and live with the Indians. She knew that they would take her in, and then she would never have to grow into that hateful thing which Mother was always talking about, a lady. A lady with fine airs and mincing walk who was afraid to go out into the sun without a hat or sunshade. A lady who made samplers and wore stays and was falsely polite no matter how she felt. Well, as Caddy is there in her room, her father comes up, and he speaks to her about the whole problem. "It's a strange thing, but somehow we expect more of girls than of boys. It is the sisters and wives and mothers, you know, Caddy, who keep the world sweet and beautiful. What a rough world it would be if there were only men and boys in it doing things in their rough way. A woman's task is to teach them gentleness and courtesy and love and kindness. It's a big task, too, Caddy, harder than cutting trees or building mills or damming rivers. It takes nerve and courage and patience, but good women have those things. They have them just as much as the men who build bridges and carve roads through the wilderness. A woman's work is something fine and noble to grow up to, and it is just as important as a man's. But no man could do it so well. I don't want you to be the silly, affected person with fine clothes and manners, whom folks sometimes call a lady. No, that is not what I want for you, my little girl. I want you to be a woman with a wise and understanding heart, healthy in body and honest in mind. Do you think you would like to be growing up into that woman now? How about it, Caddy? Have we run with the colts long enough?" So Caddy stops running with the colts, and at the end of the book she is in sewing a fine seam, rather quilting a quilt, and the brothers come in. "Golly, I could do that too," said Tom. "Girls think they're so smart with their tiny stitches. Where's a needle?" And so the boys pitch in and begin to learn needlework too. So it turned out that when Caddy began to learn to be a housewife, the boys became housewives too. Of course, they wouldn't have admitted it for worlds, but after all, the three of them had had their fun together for so long that it was hard to break the habit. The kitchen often rang now with their shouts of laughter, and Mrs. Conroy complained that they were always underfoot, but their mother only smiled and nodded. "Caddy's beginning to take an interest in the house," she said. "That's enough for me. A little housework will not harm the boys." So the boys come to do a little housework, but Caddy no longer runs with the colts, and one wonders how long the boys will keep on doing a little housework, especially if they were deprived of running with the colts. Then we come to Mother Goose. What are little boys made of? What are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dogs' tails, that's what little boys are made of. What are little girls made of? What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice, that's what little girls are made of. Well, very young, kids learn where the action is. That snails are much more desirable, much more interesting than sugar. That the fun and rewards are over there on the boys' side. A group of kindergarten kids were asked in a poll that if they could be born again, would they remain the sex they were or would they change sexes, try it being the other sex? The results came out that over 90% of the girls thought that they would like to be boys, while less than 5% of the boys thought that they would like to be girls. A fifth grader wrote in last year, "Being a girl is no fun because you have to be ladylike. I always have to do things to make people notice you, like wash your hair, sit politely, get out of the dirt, set the table." Another student wrote in, Randy, "The advantages of being a boy. There aren't many advantages of being a boy rather than a girl, just a few thousand." And then he goes on to list a few of those 2,000. And finishes up by saying that he really could go on, but he didn't have enough paper and he didn't have enough time. Sue wrote in, "When you're a girl, why can't you be a tomboy? You always have to be dainty. You can't itch, you can't twitch, and you don't dare play football. All you do is sit, and that's it." Dale wrote in, "Humiliation is when you strike out, when the pitcher is a girl." Mike wrote, "As I sat and read a Charlie Brown book, my sister came up and grabbed the book away. I got so mad I was just about to slug her when she reminded me that I couldn't hit a girl. I slugged her anyway." And finally, our own daughter, Elspeth, who is 6, read a series of books in first grade last year about sailors. Sea stories, and she became obsessed with the desire to become a sailor, and very sad that girls couldn't be sailors. And I pointed out to her that girls did all sorts of sailing, and yes, but not the sort that was in those books. Those were all boys that were on these ships. And I mentioned that, well, in Russia they have women sailors and women astronauts and women doing all sorts of other things, and so now Elspeth's desire is to move to Russia, where she can be a sailor, or possibly an astronaut. The other day she was looking through a book of ours called Children's Rainy Day Play, and there was a chapter called Just for Boys and another one Just for Girls. And I heard her saying, "They think boxing and hiking and fighting is just for boys, and necklaces and dolls and tenderness and all that stuff is for girls. Actually, I hate dolls, and I'm a girl. It's dumb. It doesn't make sense." Those books that I quoted from, Caddy, The Little Knight, Mother Goose, they're all doing something. They are conditioning us to our roles as boys and girls. There's two words there that I'd like to explain. The first is condition. When you are conditioned to something, you get used to it. If you move to a hot climate, it may bother you at first, but gradually you will get conditioned and you will get used to it. The other word is role. An actor chooses to play a role, to be something else, something that he isn't. Or another meaning of the word, a similar sort of meaning, is that a role is something that is put upon you because of what you are. In our society, for instance, you're a child, and it's not part of your role to push adults around, to tell them what to do. If you do, you're going to get into trouble. Society tells you how a child, in general, is expected to behave. Robert Louis Stevenson, a child should always say what's true and speak when he is spoken to and behave mannerly at table, at least as far as he is able. In the same way, society tells us how a girl is expected to behave and how a boy is expected to behave. And if you're a girl and behave like a boy, like Caddy did, you're a tomboy. And if you're a boy and behave like girls are supposed to behave, you're called a sissy. And you get conditioned so well into what it is to be a boy and what it is to be a girl that usually you pass it on to your own girl and boy children or the students in your school or to the whole society. You help carry on this stereotyping. That's another word I should explain, perhaps. A stereotype is something that puts everybody into the same box. Here are the boy and girl boxes. Girls are weak, boys are strong. Girls like to play house, boys like to rough house. Boys do things, girls watch and applaud. Boys grow up to be doctors, lawyers, astronauts, presidents, executives. Girls grow up to become mothers. They may also be, for a while, secretaries, teachers, nurses, stewardesses, but they mustn't take that too seriously. And when they're mothers, they live at home and they wear an apron, and they exist somewhere in another world to make fathers and children happy. For instance, many mothers hold jobs outside of the home, but in children's books and school readers, they rarely show such a mother. Not only that, but the mothers they do show are almost always shown in aprons. There have been some amusing studies made recently of the apron count in children's books. And the percentage is very high that whenever there is a mother figure shown, be she a bunny or a kangaroo or a plain ordinary human mother, she has an apron on her, and that says, you see, mother, woman. Not only that, not only do they always have aprons on, but they're always cleaning house. They never do anything in the house, any work in the house, but housework. An example from a school reader has a story where a cat gets caught up in the tree. And the mother, in her usual apron, not only can't get the cat out of the tree, but doesn't have any ideas for it and has to wait helplessly until father gets home from work and puts up the ladder and gets the cat down out of the tree. Most of the mothers I know are perfectly capable of bouncing out to the garage, getting the ladder, putting it up, and getting the cat down out of the tree. So it's no wonder that girls grow up thinking that it's not much fun to be a girl if they are getting their examples from children's books, children's readers, and other sorts of ways that the society lets us know. Book publishers may do the apron count unconsciously, but they very consciously do something else. My editor told me early, girls will read boys' books, but boys won't read girls' books. So you'll find that most of the books that you read are about boy heroes, and that most of the pictures in books are about boys. And this helps to keep up a vicious circle. A librarian wrote a paper on this, and she studied a whole lot of the Caldecott Prize-winning picture books and their runners-up. And she found that 23 out of the 33 that she looked at had male heroes, adults, boys, or male animals. 7 books had female heroines, and 3 of them had groups of children, sort of equally. Her conclusion was, what do children learn from these books about the roles which they're expected to fulfill? Boys learn that they should be resourceful, adventurous, independent, active, and better than girls in every way. A girl sees that she's expected to watch the boys perform, take care of younger children, depend on men for advice and protection, compete with other girls for the attention of boys. It is appalling that the stereotypes consistently reinforced in these books are those of girlish passivity and dependence in a male-dominated environment. All these things, you see, are conditioning us. But Elspeth and Jill and Sue are reacting to this conditioning, and so are Dale and Randy. The girls are reacting by objecting, and the boys by feeling superior or inferior. Why is it more humiliating to strike out to a girl? Because, as we've said, society says that boys should be stronger and they should be better baseball players. And if they're not, there's something wrong with them. When I was in college, there were two girls' sisters who were excellent tennis players, and they applied for the college tennis team. And even though they were better than some of the boys on the team, they weren't allowed to be on the tennis team because it was the boys' tennis team. There wasn't any girls' tennis team. Lately, there's been an awful lot of thinking going on about this subject. You've heard about it, mostly under the name of women's liberation. And if you're like one of my nephews, and you're a boy, you'll say, what are the women so stirred up about? Why aren't they out doing something important, like working on ecology or the race problem? In the newspapers and on the TV, you hear about the excesses, the lunatic fringe, the ones that are out there pushing on the edge. And I have a feeling myself that the lunatic fringe is necessary. You just hope that it won't get too big. But the more that I look into this whole business of women's liberation and react with my own guts like Elspeth did and also Randy and Sue, the more I realize that it's not only the girls and the women who are the losers, but so are the boys and the men. And that women's liberation is really human liberation, people liberation. Even if the boys on the whole like their box, their stereotype, better than the girls, they're the losers too. For the same box, for instance, that says that girls can cry, says that boys can't. And yet tears are a human emotion that are much needed to show grief and compassion and tenderness and empathy. And yet boys are told from the very start that it's babyish, that it's girlish, that it's wrong for a boy to cry. Be strong. In my view, it's the really strong man that is able to cry. So why is it that mothers and sisters and wives are the ones that are supposed to keep the world sweet and beautiful? Why not the men, too? We might have a world that was fit to live in if both the men and the women were working toward keeping it sweet and beautiful. Instead, we cheer boys on when they're not gentle and courteous and love kindness. Why shouldn't it be as desirable for a man to grow up with a wise and understanding heart as it is for Caddy to grow up with a wise and understanding heart? Why are these just womanly traits? And it's a terrible burden for girls, as all you girls know, to be sugar and spice and everything nice. We all know that it's a lie. We've got lots of things in us that aren't at all nice, just like boys do. But you hear about, you know, boys will be boys when they do certain things and boyish pranks. Have you ever heard about girlish pranks? A girl has to suppress her rough ways and pretend that she doesn't have snips and snails, that she is sugar and spice and everything nice. So today in our writing, let's think about what it means to be a girl and what it means to be a boy. When have you ever wished to be the other sex and why? When have you been thankful that you're your own sex? Have you ever felt as though you were in a box? After today's talk, do you see some boxes that you hadn't realized were there before? And here's something I especially wish you'd do after you've written some stories about yourself. Put yourself in the place of the other sex. If you're a boy, pretend that you're a girl, your sister, your mother, some friend, and take an honest look at what it might be like to be in her box. Or if you're a girl, pretend you're a boy and do the same thing. Is it really all advantages to be a boy in this world? Or do you think we might all be happier if we could get out of our boxes and have not women's liberation or men's liberation, but people's liberation?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. We're especially interested in your thoughts on today's topic, so please send your writing soon to Jacqueline Jackson, WSSR, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.